everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She is the newly elected vice president of an organization that has been in existence since the 1960s, formerly known as Morality in Media, now called the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, to more accurately reflect its scope and mission in leading the charge to expose and oppose sexual exploitation of all kinds: pornography, sex trafficking, violence against women, child abuse, addiction, the list goes on. Would you welcome to Testimony a joy indeed, and yes, new mom-to-be, Miss Dawn Hawkins. Dawn, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you.
Dawn, we first met in Nashville at a National Religious Broadcasters Convention where people of faith from around the world gather to advance the cause of Christ spiritually, culturally, and in every way. Your work with the NCSC seems no less the case. But before we get into all of this in part one of our two-part conversation today, can you just share with our audience, Dawn, a little of your own story? What motivated you as a young mother to take up such a monumental charge in confronting sexual exploitation wherever it is found? And then let's get to some of the alarming stats we are not hearing in mainstream media or in most churches for that matter. Dawn, please tell us your story.
Sure. Well, I didn't get started as a young mother, and I didn't plan to ever be this person leading the charge, but, oh, you're making me emotional already. I would say, though, that God just has different plans for you. I lived in Europe. I lived in Germany for a year and then in Hungary for a year and a half. And in Hungary particularly, I was doing mission work. And what I found was a lot of the girls, the young girls my age who we were working with, they just had such low self-esteem. And they really felt like they had to portray themselves as objects. And as we dug deeper, I just saw that the culture in Europe was overwhelmingly pornographic, with pornography on the covers of every major newspaper, on billboards, kind of everywhere you look, on mainstream television. And so when I returned to the States, I just felt this calling to try to stop America from becoming that way, and I just wanted to volunteer. I had my dream job offers. I was working in politics, but I kept thinking that God wanted me to do something on this issue. And I found Patrick Truman, who directs our organization now. He'd been involved at the U.S. Department of Justice for a long time in prosecuting pornography and child pornography cases, and done a lot of work on trafficking. And I begged him to let me help, and he consented. So I volunteered for 2 years, and we had a lot of success and built a pretty strong coalition of organizations from around the country, and did a lot in Washington, D.C. particularly. And then I'll tell you that I quit. I told him I was quitting and I was going to get married, and I had two really incredible job offers on the table, and so it just didn't fit into my life anymore to volunteer and carry the anti-porn fight on. And I thought, mm-hmm, I'd put in my time. So when I told him I was done, he said he wanted me to come and join the organization full time and told me to pray about it, and I knew immediately.
You knew that that's what God had called you to specifically. You just could not let go.
Oh, exactly. And didn't you look what you did to me? I don't tell this story like very often, but when that night I called my husband, who was then my fiance, and told him, and he came over and we talked about it and we prayed about it, and it was just very clear what I should do. And so I said no to those two dreams, two dream jobs, and I'm really grateful, I think, though, that God gave me those opportunities. I saw them on the table, but now I can see clearly that I'm supposed to be here doing this work, so...
Well, I am really touched by what you just shared, Dawn, and having met you in Nashville. I know you're about to have another child, I think the end of this month, so it is an emotional time and an exciting time for you as well. But clearly what I'm hearing you say also is that you laid down your dreams and your desires to pick up what you felt God wanted you to do. I heard a testimony today of a woman who did the same thing. We think that we know what God wants us to do in this life. We set out to do that. Man makes his plans, as the word says, but God directs his steps. And I'm so happy to hear that you were obedient to that call because, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dawn Hawkins, newly elected vice president of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. No small feat here. This is a huge job. From a spiritual standpoint, Dawn, I'm sure you have lots of opposition. We're going to get more into the details of exactly what you're up against and some of the victories you've been able to obtain. I just personally applaud your efforts, and we want to get what you are doing into the ears of as many can come alongside and help as possible. So let me ask you, is it possible in our lifetime, in your view and in the organization's view, to unseat sexual immorality wherever it is found? And can you talk a little bit about what the National Center on Exploitation is doing to do just that?
Well, most definitely, that's what we need to do. We need to make it so that sexual exploitation is not acceptable anywhere in any form. And I think we've been very successful. We've seen that many people around the country and organizations have too. When they just speak up, I'll tell you one little story. I was flying on an airplane, and a man in front of me happened to be watching pornography. It was just like, of all people to sit in front of, he sat in front of me.
Wow.
And I said something to him. I said something to the flight attendant. I was told to shut up. I was told by another woman passenger on the airplane. I was told by the flight attendant there's nothing he could do. I just felt completely stifled. I felt so alone. That was like a moment of incredible darkness, I would say. But after after the flight, I made a YouTube video, and just to share the experience with our supporters. And that YouTube video, it circulated, and many of the top commercial airlines in the U.S. saw it, and we were able to connect with every commercial airline in the United States. And with just asking, just showing them that video and telling them the story, and just simply asking, all of the airlines except for American changed their policies to prohibit viewing pornography and to better train their flight attendants. And what we're finding is that oftentimes, if we just simply ask, we can make a difference in opposing sexual exploitation in all its forms. We have, as an organization, we really focus on trying to change public policy, both on a government level, but also on a corporate level, and those policies that facilitate or foster sexual exploitation. And we have a list called the Dirty Dozen list that we put out each year, where we pick 12 targets who aren't necessarily the worst of the worst, but who are involved in facilitating pornography and exploitation. Some of them are surprising to you. Hilton Hotels, Verizon, Facebook, the Department of Justice, for example, is on that list. But we've had quite a lot of success in getting these companies to change. We got Verizon to stop offering child-themed pornography last year. We met with Hilton Hotel executives last week, and they let us know that they're moving in a direction to phase out pornography. Not quite yet, but it seems like it's moving in that way. We got the U.S. Army and Air Force to stop selling pornography on their bases. We got Google to get rid of pornography in their app store and pornographic ads. And all of this really is because we're getting a lot of people joining together, signing petitions, making calls, making complaints together with us. And so that's really, I think, our little niche in this fight. And I'd love to just, I want to yell from the rooftops to everybody who feels lonely and like this is just such an overwhelming problem in darkness, that really when we just speak up and try, there's a lot of success often coming from it.
Amen, amen. That's so exciting. You have to be the poster girl for this whole process. That has to be very encouraging for our listeners today, just what one person can do, one act of obedience, one YouTube video, and look out. Wow. Well, I was so impressed in meeting you and just the fact that God's anointed you to be such a tremendous mobilizer, and you're only 29 years old. You don't look like you would be attacking these big giants and coming against them. I love that term, a strong hand in a velvet glove. And I think, Don, you epitomize that term there. I don't think they see you coming, and that's a good thing. I've done interviews before where people have gone undercover to expose pedophilia and the horrors of that. And pornography is so pervasive in our society today. I'm reminded of that scripture that says that your women will be ravaged in the streets, and raping is going on. And we're getting so desensitized, it seems, in the media. Is there a target group in the media that you would like to have come alongside you to help you in your efforts, or are they staying silent?
Well, we don't have a particular target group. We have the entire media that we're going after. Largely, for years, the media has been kind of joking about pornography. They push it under the rug, and if they do talk about it, they joke about it. And also, they talk about horrific aspects of sexual exploitation, but they don't tie them together. They don't tell the whole story. And so one of our major goals here at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation is to really have an aggressive outreach to the media. And what we've seen just in the last year is that they're starting to change, largely major news outlets are starting to change their rhetoric and messaging from joking about pornography to the fact that pornography is a public health crisis. And, it's especially helpful when people locally write their local newspapers and correct them on stories or ask them to cover these issues, because we're seeing that is helping to change the perception in the media, which then changes the perception in the public, because we often just buy what they say.
Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Don Hawkins, Vice President of the newly named National Center on Sexual Exploitation, NCSE, formerly known as Morality in Media. You can learn more about Don and the NCSE's impactful and groundbreaking work by going to EndSexualExploitation.org or CosmoHarmsMinors.com. And from there, be directed to a host of sites combating sexual exploitation wherever it is found. Don, thank you for taking the time to share just a little of your own story and the horrific stats of industries preying on our youth and what we can do to effectively stop it. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you. Me too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard just some of the horrific stats of a multi-billion dollar industry that is physically, mentally, emotionally, and most of all spiritually, harming the youth of this nation and all sectors of life.
as sexual perversion of every kind is invading our streets, our movie houses, department store shelves, anywhere sexually explicit material can be viewed, and the reader-viewer of such content ultimately destroyed. And as the Bible so aptly states, quote, "The thief, Satan, comes not but to rob, steal, and destroy." So how do we combat this destroyer of the soul, mind, and body? My next guest, who has been called for such a time as this, is being used by God to expose and oppose sexual exploitation wherever it is found through her nationwide mobilizing efforts, initiatives, and legislation. Would you welcome back to Testimony my special guest, Vice President of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, formerly known as Morality and Media, a wife, a young mother, and brave voice for righteous values, Miss Dawn Hawkins. Dawn, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dawn, it's great to have you back. You recently partnered with Victoria Hearst, granddaughter of publishing magnate William Randolph Hearst of the Hearst Corporation, also producers of the popular yet sexually destructive magazine known as Cosmopolitan, or to its readers, simply known as Cosmo. In an effort to get this magazine off the shelves, or at the very least, adult content, the campaign Victoria recently launched called CosmoHarmsMinors.com. Can you elaborate, Dawn, for our listeners, and then let's talk about some of your other initiatives, the Dirty Dozen List, 50 Shades of Grey, Porn Harms, just to name a few. Please tell us more.
Sure. Well, I would tell you, it's been a great project, especially to partner with Victoria. And we've been going after Cosmopolitan magazine for the last 3 years as part of our Dirty Dozen list. And definitely partnering with her has helped to bring that project or campaign to a much higher level. The problem with Cosmopolitan magazine, a lot of people don't realize what's inside the covers these days, but it's highly pornographic, often detailing very violent and damaging, dangerous sexual activities, encouraging girls to participate in them. I would argue that it's worse than Playboy magazine. It might not have as many nude pictures, although increasingly it has started to have them. But one of the biggest problems with Cosmopolitan is they're really good at targeting teenage girls. They often have teen idols on the cover or feature stories from teen pop stars. I mean, they say that they're targeting women in their 30s, but a 30-year-old woman doesn't really care about Justin Bieber, right? So Cosmo is genius in their marketing, and that's very dangerous for young girls. It really could get their intimate or sexual education from Cosmopolitan. So what we're doing is just simply asking for it to be covered like all other pornographic magazines are in stores, and to not be right there at the checkout or where everybody can see it, and certainly not to sell it to minors. We've seen already that some grocery chains have started to do that. In southern Utah, there are a few, and in Nebraska, a few stops of the Hy-Vee chain. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to meet with some other retailers. We encourage your listeners, especially, to go to CosmoHarmsMinors.com if they want to get involved. We have little handouts you can print to hand to your local managers of stores, or graphics you can share on social media to say that, you know, to help people see, understand what's really going on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dawn Hawkins. You can learn more about Dawn by going to the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, the website, and sexualexploitation.org. Talk about 50 Shades of Grey, that movie that came out, and the devastating effects of a movie like that.
Yeah, well, I'm still just in shock that such a movie could be so popular. But there really was, you know, millions of dollars that went into promoting it, and there's just this incredible media machine out there. And the problem with 50 Shades of Grey was that it glamorizes sexual violence, particularly violence against women. It teaches women that they should want to be with an abusive man. It teaches men that they should fit this genre and treat women this way because they think women want to be treated this way. But the real problem was that, you know, there are many other movies, even in mainstream theaters, that are pretty have damaging messages. But the problem with 50 Shades of Grey was that it's just everywhere. From, you know, Target was promoting it next to the children's toothbrushes. It was on every single channel that you flipped through. And kids are getting the message, you know, that sexual violence is acceptable and normal, and it's what adults do. And so we really tried to help counter the message. And for a while, I felt like I was the only one speaking up, or our organization wasn't. But what we found was, once we launched some social media campaigns encouraging people to donate, we're joining together. Thousands of individuals were writing us saying how grateful they were that there's a voice out there, a reason, and explaining to people what the message really was behind this. So, I mean, we want to help people be smart about the kind of media that they consume, and 50 Shades of Grey is really just is not helpful in any way.
Right. Well, that's beautifully articulated. Dawn, this is a program called Testimony, based on Revelation 12:11, where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I wanted to have you on to simply testify to the horrors of pornography, the sex trade industry, and all of that. And you have the stats on all of that and what our listeners can do to come alongside you and help campaign on your behalf and help contribute to your efforts. And to me, that is comforting in this way. We're not helpless. We can do something about it. We have a voice that is out there being the voice for those that have no voice. I want to talk about the spiritual aspect of someone who may be in this, who may be trapped in pornography, and ways to perhaps get out, because I'm sure you have some resources that provide men, women, children, teenagers, whatever their age group, help if they are trapped in this type of an addiction. Some scriptures that came to mind, Dawn. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, he or she will not depart from it. Romans 12:2 states, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And finally, from a scriptural standpoint, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. So, Dawn, from a spiritual perspective, unless the listener has their mind wrapped in the Word of God, what defense do they have against this type of assault?
Well, it's pretty difficult, I would say. And I would say that I haven't heard from anybody who's overcome this pornography addiction, or even kind of betrayal by a spouse, without deep faith in God. So I will say that, although there are resources for those who might not be religious, I just have never met anybody who has really overcome this.
Can you talk about some of those resources?
Yeah, if you go to our website, endsexualexploitation.org/resources, I have tons of them, and they're divided by categories for you, so that if you're struggling yourself, technological resources to help you protect your computer, your smartphone, help for parents, help for the woman whose husband struggles, help, you know, I've got all of that, and it's divided by categories. So I encourage you to go there. I don't know of any other place where you can find so many good resources. But one thing I want to help people understand is that pornography actually does change the brain. And if this is a real physical, it leaves a physical impact that's very hard to overcome. And, you know, I would say that we need to have more compassion for those who are struggling with this. It's often not as easy as just turning it off. And it certainly, once you're struggling with this, prayer and reading your scriptures, for example, are often not going to be enough to help you. You need other additional support as well. So I encourage you to go to the Resource Center. But the one very amazing thing that I've come to learn, I'm not a neuroscientist or a neurosurgeon, but I've studied a lot about the brain and the brain research on this. And what we find is that while pornography does alter the brain can be altered back. God has made our bodies so perfectly that we can really overcome this, these kinds of trials, and we can become, be made whole again physically. And so I would just want to help your listeners to feel that and know that there's definitely hope. It takes a lot of effort and work, but it is possible to overcome addictions and to feel, you know, that wholeness once again.
Amen and amen. The word says that he came to set the captives free, and that he does. Jesus gives us the mind of Christ, and he does that through his word and through help and support of those that have been there. That is great advice, Don. Last question. What is your great hope as a young mother with children of her own, and how are you personally protecting them in the age of social media, Facebook, Twitter? What are you personally doing
to help protect children? We encourage parents to talk to their kids at very young ages, help them understand what is appropriate with their bodies, the sacredness of their bodies, that everybody has dignity, and to have clear boundaries on what is and is not appropriate. We encourage parents to be aware of the dangers online, and we try to help them by, you know, providing the latest updates on what you might, you know, need to be aware of, the latest app that is very popular that parents should maybe know has deeper problems with it. And we've got resources that we drive them to for that. But most importantly, the way to help your kids the most is to realize that they're going to be exposed to this content. It's going to be around them all over the place as they leave your home, and sometimes even in your home, because, you know, now we have smartphones and it's just being pumped right into our pockets. So realize that your kids, as wonderful as they are, will be exposed to this. And then take control and help them understand what is healthy intimacy, what is God's plan for them, what does it mean to respect and to hold one another with dignity.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Dawn Hawkins, Vice President of the newly named National Center on Sexual Exploitation, formerly known as Morality in Media. You can learn more about Dawn and the NCSC's impactful and groundbreaking work by going to endsexualexploitation.org or cosmoharmsminors.com, and from there be directed to a host of sites combating perversion wherever it is found. Dawn, it is clear God has his hand on you for such a time as this, as a mobilizer and champion of human rights and godly values on behalf of all children everywhere, society at large, and our nation. We are grateful. Thank you, Dawn, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.